Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Man Up the Movement, hosted by myself, Pastor E. And yes, this is a relaunch. This is where the foundation has been set, and this is where we're calling all men, young, middle, old, thought you was old, thought you was young, thought you was thrown away, thought you was finished. We are calling you to keep it real and get into discussion. Come on, brothers, we can do better. I know we did it. We didn't do like we did yesterday, but I charge you that we can still do better. Let's discover the truth, and let's discover the truth now. Man up simply means now is my time to fight. It means I'm taking personal responsibility for my own life. I'm no longer relying on my personal abilities, but on God's complete guidance. My steps are ordered by the Lord. I am walking in purpose with God. I'm holding myself accountable, dedicated, and committed to a life of constant change and growth. Our credo here at Man Up is, I am no longer operating with a double mind. I am operating with the Christ characteristics that dwell in me. I am the head and not the tail. I am the lender and not the borrower. I am called according to my purpose. I am the God in me through Christ Jesus. Come on, let's man up. My brothers, I'm excited to be with you tonight. I'm excited to continue this journey. I'm excited to go forward, and I'm excited to continue to reach out to those that may have a voice that haven't been heard, that are looking for a platform, that is trying to come somewhere that they're treated equally and not treated secondly. This is the place for you here at the Now Network. My brothers, that's why we're here. That's why we meet. And that's why we make ourselves available to do what God has called us to do. And that is man up. Tonight is going to be a little bit different. We're multitasking tonight, doing some, getting rid of some assignments, but we definitely wanted to continue to lock in. The last 2 weeks we have really been charged and really been motivated to regulate. And a lot of people would say, "Well, regulate what? You got to learn to regulate yourself." That's what one thing that Man Up wants to bring to the forefront is that it's not about what you do, but how you do it. It's not who you do it to, but it's who you don't do it to. And it's not about what you used to be, it's about who you are today. You're part of a fellowship of brothers, like-minded brothers that have been through the same struggles you've been through, that have experienced the same letdown you have, that have been thrown to the side just like you, that have been talked about, scandalized, thrown under the bus. If you're looking for a partner of things that we went through, that's what we're all here for, is to support one another and to encourage each other that you are not alone. There are others just like you out here that are calling on God to help them change their lives by how they act. See, my mother told me a long time ago, my brothers, and I remember this. She said, son, actions speak louder than words. You can talk all the good game you want to talk. You can say it all eloquently. You can say it all, as she said, but your actions is what's going to make you. It's going to be your actions that people are going to want to follow. It's your actions that people are going to want to get to know. It's not what you talk about and how you know, you're a good talker, son, and you can make anybody buy some ocean land in Arizona. She said, but when it comes down to getting a check, you probably won't get paid. Changed my life at that point. And it took me a long time to get it, because a lot of us don't get what our parents have told us or our mentors have told us or our leaders have told us until it's too late. Well, that's me. I was given all the nuggets. I wasn't in a split home. I was in a two-parent home. I wasn't neglected. I wasn't disadvantaged. I wasn't homeless, clotheless, or lacking anything. Actually, God blessed me with parents that were well off to provide for me and my sister better than anybody else could. Now somebody says, well, were they rich? They didn't know. No, they could do what God had called them to do in our lives, and that's what turned us around by their sacrifice to say, you know what, enough of me. Let me live for somebody else right now. Let me think how can I do something that's going to affect someone else's future? Well, men, brothers, young men, all of us, that's all of our goal, is to be able to show someone else how it can be done and to show someone else that it's possible. And yes, it is. That's what's so dynamic about God. That's what's so dynamic about fellowship, is that it's possible when we see the possibilities in ourselves. Our credo, look, right here. This is we say this every week on Tuesday. We say that now is my time to fight. Let's really look at that. Are you still waiting for someone to fight your battles, or are you fighting your own? I'm taking personal responsibility for my own life. Have you, have I, taken responsibility for our own lives? Or are we still blaming others for our letdowns, for our downfalls? We're no longer relying on our personal abilities, and this is a good one here. We are no longer relying on our personal abilities, but on God's complete guidance. I have done so many things out of line with God. He said, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I never listened. It was my way, the highway. I cut you off in a minute. I put the blame on you. I say, why you didn't listen? I never took personal responsibility for my own life. Even when the judge sentenced me, I blamed him. Even when I got arrested, I blamed them. Even when I got caught, I blamed them. Oh, my God, for everything that happened in my life. Now, look. What other is there? And look, if you guys know me, I am pro-freedom. But what does a person supposed to do at their job? This is a question somebody might want to answer here in a minute or two. But what is it that a person should do at their job? You're getting paid to go to work every day. I didn't talk about occupation. But if you have a job, what are you supposed to do? Because of your color, because of your statue, because of your family connections, you're supposed to not do your job. See, I blame the judge for doing his job. I blame the police officer for doing his job. I blame the teacher for doing her job. I blame the coach for doing his job. I blame everybody for doing their job. And the reason why I never took responsibility, because I wasn't doing my job. And that's why I say that was a big one there. When we learn, my brothers, to take full responsibility for our own lives. You know, at that point in my life, I really manned up, because I said, you know what? It's nobody's fault. I can't blame nobody anymore. I got to take full responsibility of my own stuff. And I got to believe that if I trust God with all my heart, lean not on my own understanding, acknowledge him in all my ways, the Bible says that he shall direct my path. See, no longer relying on my personal abilities. You know, you thought because you was cute, you thought because you could shoot the three-pointer, you thought because you had the gift of gab, you thought because you could do this. You know, when you stop relying on your personal abilities and you rely on God's complete guidance, you don't do nothing without his approval. Number three, my steps are ordered by the Lord. Do you know that before the foundation of this world, that your steps have already been ordered by the Lord? You were christened to be a leader. You were christened to walk in purpose with God. And watch number five. That was number four, walking in purpose with God. But watch number five, holding myself accountable, dedicated and committed to a life of constant change and growth. We cannot stay dormant in the change mode. When you step into the change meter, into the change machine, it is a constant change. But that's where accountability comes in. That's where dedication comes in. And that's where commitment comes in, to a life of constant change. Believe me, I cannot be what I was yesterday, because that's all I'll ever be. I can't just settle for yesterday, because that's all I'll ever settle for. I can't just rely on those. I have to be able to trust completely in God and allow him to trust completely in me. See, trust is something I don't think we really dive deep into. I was sharing with a Rockbox today, and or maybe it wasn't Rockbox. It was Jay. One of the guys that comes by the shop, and we're mentoring and training and some things, trying to get him on the next level. But I said to him, trust was something that doesn't change people. You have to learn, I have to learn, my brother, to trust people for who they are. You got to trust a crook to be a crook. You know that's the only thing that he has until he changes his life. He is a crook. You have to trust him to be a crook. You know a thief. You know a robber. You know a liar. You have to trust them to be just what they are. That's when you can trust yourself to resist. That's when you can trust yourself to avoid. And that's when you can trust yourself to be accountable, dedicated, and committed to a life of constant change and growth. Then our credo comes. And God just really shared with me to go here, because some young brothers have been here and they hear me read this in the beginning, but have never really understood what God gave us for our credo. See, when you know that you serve the great I am, and then you know that because you've confessed your sins and you've confessed with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and arose for your salvation, you now are in him. And then he even says a little bit farther that when you get in him and he abides in you and you abide in him, it's no longer a servant, it's no longer a slave, it's no longer, it's a friend. Because you now are privy to the important information, my God. And now you know that you are. Yes, I am. That's why our credo is so profound. I am no longer operating with a double mind. I am operating with the Christ characteristics that dwell in me. I am the head and not the tail. I am the lender and not the bar. I am called according. See how much strength comes in that as we go? I am called according to my purpose, and I am the God in me through Jesus Christ. I man up. What about you? Where are you at today? Are you ready to work on you? Are you steady, ready to come to a broadcast that someone tells you how to work on you and you still don't follow it? Yeah, that was me. I went to all the classes. I went to all the seminars, read all the books, did all the things they said. And when it came down to it, I still failed because I was still trying to do it my way and not Yahweh. See, when we finally give God all that he deserves, that means that he gets exactly all that he deserves. Not questioning. Not wondering, not guessing, not playing, but giving God exactly what he deserves, my Jesus. And that's why we man up. That's why we take on this mantle of manning up, that now someone can see through my example of not what I tell you to do, but what God is showing me to do, that now we can see by example how to trust in the Lord with all our heart, how to lean out on our own understanding, and to acknowledge him in all our ways, and then finally doing what he really told us to do. We're called to that purpose, my brothers, and that's why we're here. That's why we're going to open up the lines. That's why we want to hear from you. I already see my two ride or dies, Minister Clarence and Minister Michael, already dial one and threw their hands up, and I'm not even looking at the board right now. I know I saw their hands come up real quick because that's why we're here, to man up together. And my sister, I know you're out there supporting and listening and getting some information to share with your son, your grandson, your nephew, your cousin, your brother, your church friend, whatever. But you be blessed also, because God, what he did for us, he's doing for you also. And by these examples, we can be led by the Spirit and led not by the flesh. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this intro, Lord. We thank you that your word has went forth, and we thank you that you are now in a place to receive our worship, in a place to receive our praise, in a place to really receive the honor and glory that you deserve. I thank you for everyone in the sound of my voice. I thank you for everyone that is here to sow, everyone that is here to receive, everyone that is here to harvest. We thank you, Heavenly Father God, that it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by your Spirit. And we decree and declare tonight that we will not leave this place the same. We will be changed. We will be rearranged. And we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind in the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ is Lord. Let the church say amen. Well, amen, family. We are going to open up the lines at this point. As I said, I see the two brothers I knew would dial one, but we want you to also get in this conversation and let's talk. Man up. Area code 562-7584 is your last four. This is Minister Michael Netherly. Good evening, sir.
Yes. Rock by boots. Rock by boots. Rock by boots. What's up, y'all?
What's
hello,
up?
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, Pastor, well, I wanted to actually elaborate on something we were talking about earlier today.
Go right ahead, sir.
Reference to the five folds.
Okay.
Of the position, you know, yeah, the positions of the church and everything. Maybe the reason why I was asking for that is because I think some people out there need to probably know the same thing so they could get a better understanding of God's kingdom. You know what I'm saying? And the church and the positions and
amen.
How it's supposed to be in order and everything else. And so, I just want you to explain.
So you calling me out? So you call you call me out?
Well, I ain't calling you out.
Out
just
huh?
I just want to know a little bit further. Since we already on this man up and everything, I think you know.
Right.
I think the information
for
me.
What I meant
for a lot of folks too.
Right, hey, sir.
Yeah,
I didn't mean that derogatory. I meant that like you want me to teach. So we're gonna go into that and elaborate on the gifts.
Okay.
Of God. And for those that are listening, what happened was is that the question was brought, what is the fivefold? Now, one thing that most of you probably have the same question, you haven't asked it because you said that might be a stupid question. Can I just let you off the hook right here? There are no stupid questions in the Word of God because there are so
Amen.
Many. If you don't ask a question, you never get an answer. And if you don't get an answer, you can't make the right choice. If you just constantly
right.
follow other people's opinion, if you keep following other people's words, that's all you'll ever get. But when you ask questions, there's nothing else you can get but an answer. It might not be the
right.
answer you like, but you're going to get the answer that God would have you to have. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute you out. I'll bring you back on because you got me in teaching mode now, and I'm going to share on the gifts of the Spirit and where we're supposed to, how we're supposed to look at it. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So I want to, if you have your Bibles tonight, I want to draw your attention to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I know somebody just wanted to say, I thought he was going to go here. No, let's start at the beginning. If you really want to know the gifts and what you are called to do in this fivefold ministry of God. Verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, first of all, let me just eliminate, that's just not talking to the brothers, that's talking to you, sister, too. Remember, God came that all might have life and life more abundantly. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Let's stop right there because, first of all, Paul always is in a humble, even though he had authority, he was still in a humble position to beseech you. When someone beseech you, it's to get your attention. When someone beseech you, is that they need you to listen. When someone beseech you, they need you to be in the right position because look what he said next. He says, by the mercies of God, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. See, I cannot come before you with my mercy, with my grace, because I don't have any. I'm trying to operate under the same grace and mercy you are. But when I come to you, it must be under the mercies of God to tell you what God wants you to hear. That's a part of the fivefold because there are many positions in the fivefold. We're going to talk about those in a minute. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I don't know whether you know a reasonable service is just like a job. If you want to get paid, you must go to work. If you want to be able to be holy, acceptable to God, and do your job, you must go to work, and you must understand it's your reasonable service. Now, remember this. For every good service, there's a bad. Watch what he says in verse 2. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I hope you got this from the beginning. He was talking to you. If this was not a group conversation, and there may have been more than one listening, but this was not a group conversation. This was a one-on-one conversation that the letter you're reading like it was written to you, that you present your bodies. That's each and every one of us. But he said that you, say me, talking to me, that and do not be conformed to this world, you, me, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the one thing about you getting out of yourself, which is the world, and now getting into God, there's three folds that you have to get. First of all, you're going to prove what is good. And then you're going to have to prove what is acceptable. And then you're going to have to prove what is perfect. And it all is the will of God. See, when your will dies, who will live? God's will. You can never have your position. You can never know what you've been called to do if you don't know that it only has to do with the will of God. Verse 3, watch this. For I say through the grace given to me that everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. See, this thing about your calling, this thing about your title, this thing about your ministry has nothing to do with you. He says that you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I am really not all that. And there are many people that will pat me on my back and say, good job, and wow, Pastor E, I'm still not all that. Those things, those accolades, me and Mike were talking about that today. I said, man, I ain't really on that. I'm not really trying to blast everybody out on the videos and show all of the good things that we're doing out there in the street. That's not for me. So I have to do what it is for me, and that is serving God. So that I don't think highly of myself, than ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. Do you look at that and see that we really are all just alike? We've all been given the same thing. I know your title is bishop. I know your title is this. I know your, but we still all the same. For he has dealt each one a measure of faith. My measure of faith is no greater than yours. Mine might be more outlooking and more outgoing, but that doesn't mean my faith is stronger than yours just because you don't say it out loud. He's given each and every one of us a measure of faith. Watch what he says in number 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. Don't get mad at me because God called me to do this. Be glad for what God called you to do. That's why we got to learn, my brothers, and I'm glad we're talking to brothers tonight, to stay in our own lane. Do what God told you to do now, not what you see somebody else doing. But all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Don't you know that I have the left hand, need a right hand? The basketball, the three-point shooter needs a point guard? The wide receiver ain't no good without a quarterback. We are one when we think of our goals are to assist one another. Then it says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who is teaching, who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. See, don't you understand? Each thing that God has given us are just as important. None greater than the other. And you don't even need a title to prove it. Because first of all, you know that what God has given you, he has given you for the work of the ministry. He has given it for his work. I can't make you an apostle. I could train you to do the right thing. But I do not have the authority to make you anything. Oh, you don't trust me? Watch this. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11. It says, and he gave himself, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to be a perfect man. But he gave himself apostles to be apostolic. He gave himself teachers, to be ministers, to be bishops, and every other title out there, but it's all for the edification of the body of Christ. So you hear me say this all the time. I am fivefold. I don't need a doctorate. Even though I have one, I don't need an apostolic license, but I have one. I don't need an evangelistic degree, but I have one. I don't need anything on the wall to say who I am. All I have to do is do the work of the ministry. What is the ministry? What did God give me? Today he gave me the teaching ability, so I'm supposed to teach. Tomorrow he may have given me the healing ability. I'm supposed to heal. Tomorrow he may give me the evangelistic to go out and keep telling more and more people. Well, we do that all the time anyway. But what has God given you? And how do you understand? Don't limit God. It's one of the biggest things the church will do. The church will limit God from unlimiting you. Ooh, somebody took off running. Ooh, Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, go ahead. Because God's trying to release you and somebody's trying to limit you. Say no more limitations. Say no more shutting down. No more trusting in somebody else to tell me the right thing. I'm going to go to the Lord myself, and I am going to, watch this, study. The Bible says that we perish for a lack of knowledge. But it also says, see, remember I told you there's always a good and there's always a bad. See, for a lack of knowledge, but there's always that we can study ourselves to be approved. So what did you choose today? Just to have the title on the wall? Or to really understand what God said about us and our calling and about our position and about your title. Your title don't mean nothing. It really don't. And the faster you get that, the faster we gonna learn that it's not about us. It's still about him. And when we get that, when we finally get that part, oh, we making some headway now, my brothers. We really understanding how we can help one another to be what God really and truly intended for us to be. That is to be his children. That is to be his teachers. That is to be his apostles. That is to be everything that he has called us to be. Are you ready? And let the church say amen. And let the church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. And let the church say amen. But let the church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. I hope that 10-minute excerpt of the word blessed you tonight. We're going to open the lines back up with Minister Michael. I pray that was what God was itching in you. He had a fire in his belly, y'all. And God was calling him for some more of his word. I pray that he used me exactly how he wanted you to hear it, and you received exactly what he wanted you to receive.
Yes, amen, 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 yes, amen, yeah. I have another question.
I got another answer.
Okay. earlier when we were talking about it, you was breaking down which one, describing like what a teacher does, what a pastor does, what a bishop does, what an evangelist does. I just want you to break that down a little bit so everybody can know that too, because maybe somebody out there need to know exactly what they do, describing the gifts that they had of the fivefold, basically.
Well, I mean, a teacher is that he teaches. A pastor mm-hmm. is a shepherd that covers the flock.
Gotcha.
An evangelist is one who goes out and shares the word of God and leads people back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
An apostle goes out and breaks the land where there is poverty, where there is sin, where there is no church. The apostle goes and breaks the land that the church could come behind him.
Right.
The bishop is normally one who is a trainer of pastors that takes them in his ministry and trains them how to go out and make more disciples. He is a church planter. A bishop is a church planter. A bishop is an overseer. A bishop is all five. Now, if you heard what I said earlier, when you do what God called you to do, you don't need somebody to tell you to be a bishop. You just got to go plant churches and show people how to do it. You don't need the title.
Right.
You just need to do the work.
Amen. Amen.
So there's many different titles out there, but it's really more about the work, y'all. That's what I'm really trying to really drive in, is that for each and every one of us to do what we call to do. It's not about what the title been saying, because somewhere along the line that got messed up because the church stopped doing what it was supposed to do. So I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm just trying to go back to what God said.
Yes.
And make that the premise on what we do now, how we operate, how do we maneuver. It has to be by the word of God and what God called you to do.
Amen. Okay. Appreciate that.
Amen.
Pastor. Yeah.
Oh,
amen.
Oh, brother, that's why we here. That's why we here. That's why we here. I love it. I love questions. Oh, I love questions.
Yeah.
Amen, amen. We're going to go to the next caller, which is if you're out there on the line and you want to get in the conversation, dial 1. We want to bring you in as we get ready to discuss a little bit and or close this call out as we went forward. But let's bring in Minister Clarence live here, area code 310, last 43213. Good evening, sir.
Man up, man up, man up. First of all, giving glory to God. Amen. Thank you for the knowledge, the wisdom. You speak in life, brother. You know, earlier in this program, when you were going through the evolutions of man and the growth of man and the changes that we have to make, I was thinking when we were boys, we wore clothes the size of a boy. Our parents went out and bought us these sizes of clothes. And as we growed, they bought another size and another size. And as we became adult men and learned how to shop for ourselves, we went and bought clothes that fit us as a man. And
right.
That goes along with the same walk in our life as becoming a full adult male man. When we are children, there, you know, we play games, we have fun, we like toys. But as we age and mature, there are some things that we have to relinquish, because as we get older and mature, there are other things that we're going to acquire or have to acquire as we age and mature. And when we become men, there are manly things that we have to acquire to attest and fortitude ourselves with the character of being a man. And there are some things that we have to relinquish as being a child, such as, I remember in school, we like to cut line. We like to cheat on tests. You know, we like to whisper in people's ears certain mischief things. And when we become an adult, it's, you know, if you're going to be a man, you have to cease from wanting to cut in a line and get in and wait your turn in line as your place see fit. So, you know, these things is going to my mind. But Pastor E, my brother Michael, and to all the listeners, I'd like to share with y'all some events that just passed this past weekend, which were really important. We just passed the 30th anniversary of a couple of things. We saw the anniversary of the trial of Rodney King, and we just celebrated the 30-year anniversary of the Crips and Blood Peace Treaty. Saturday I went to, last week was also Victims Right Week, so I went to an event under LaWanda Hawkins. She's the founder of Justice for Murdered Children, and so they had a thing in Washington, Ted Watkins, for that beautiful event. She put out these banners with all of these murdered people, the murdered by gang violence, domestic violence, and all sorts of, but primarily gang violence, from children to teenagers to adults, even law enforcement, and our first responders was on some of those boards. So thank God for her. And then I went over to South Park, and they had a two celebration event in one. One was the 30th anniversary of the Rodney King event and the peace treaty of the Crips and Bloods from 1992. And, man, there were Crips and Bloods from all over. Man, there in unity, men manning up, women, man, womening up, if I can use that term, because it's just a woe in front of the man when it comes to our beautiful women. And so you had that was hosted by United We Stand Up. You know, that's Pastor Shep, which I know, Pastor, you know these brothers, and Minister Tony Muhammad. Also was there was the Mayor Eric Garcetti, Councilman Curran Price, and I can't think of his name, but it's on the tip of my mind, but the brother came out that created the song, This Is How We Do It. He came out and performed. Man, it was a wonderful thing. They fed people, had jobs there, resources. But the thing that disappoints me with our people, man, is always somebody wants to be the clown of anything that you throw that's good and decent. So about at the end, you know, you had some people there that didn't want to get along with each other. Man, you had Deputy Chief Imada Tingarides there, beautiful two-star Deputy Chief sister. You had another female sister, Captain LAPD, and LAPD was, they were stationed all around. And at the end of this event, man, the LAPD had to come in with their riot gear, spread across the park, and get everybody out. wonderful, beautiful event, man. You got dudes that fought with each other, coming here in peace, but yet you still have some of those who have not acclimated to the level of being a man or a woman and wanting to make a good thing look bad. Such a shame. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was multitasking as I always do, if you know me. But yes, I was unfortunate that I had to miss all those events, which I was invited to, but I had some prior engagements. You guys know last week was my birthday, and we got just wasn't able to make it, but I know I was supported by many there. I talked to Deputy Chief Emma last night. We're working on a couple of things for inner city training. She's been out to the entrepreneurial class and loves what we're doing here. Great woman of God. Great. Her husband, Phil, is awesome. Talked to many of that happened. Pastor Montel Jordan, that's who was there. This is how we do it. He is a pastor now. Regretted not seeing him. Yeah, he's a pastor now. And I regretted not being there because me and him had some deep conversations about doing some church things in L.A. in the inner city. So I know it was great, but it's just always one bad apple that brings so much controversy in that starts something good out to end up being bad. And that's where we as men, manning up, need to come better together, that we you know, also police these areas and see the stuff happening before that you know, we can see it before it comes. Oh, yes. I mean, this was hey, if you're out there and you're in this conversation, you want to get involved in the conversation, dial one with us already. We are ready to go to that next level. Michael Netherly, I want to bring you back in for a second before we get ready to close. You know, I don't hold you long. If we said what we had to say, we're going to keep it that way and go forward and just bless God for another man up the movement. Michael, anything you want to add before we close out?
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, it is deep that, you know, some of, you know, the situation go good, go bad every now and then or whatever. But, you know, I think the purpose
right.
of this man up is for us to actually pray for them too, man. You know, pray
that's
for,
right.
you know, pray for the more unity in our community, if nothing else, because that's our number one problem is unity. And so, you know, and the unity starts, you know, like with this establishment right here with the man up, you know, for us to
right,
get together.
Right. That's where it begins. That's right.
Yeah, you know, and we come up with different, you know, resolutions to solve some of this stuff, and but we do it in the spirit of God and not our own understanding. You know.
Exactly.
That's what we need to do it because, you know, some people are going to try to come out there and try to solve stuff on their own understanding. They're going to keep bumping their head, and that's where we at right now. But what it is, we need
well, you
to
know,
get
you know,
behind
but that. You know, let's be real about something. Let's be real about something. You know, our society has this F the police mentality. Our society has, you know, forget the well, a police is just somebody with a job. Like if you worked at the cable company and you're supposed to go run cable, but somebody tell you don't run it, but you that's your job. What you gonna do? You gonna do your job because you got to take care of your family too.
Right.
And it gets that way in these situations that they think it's the police doing it when it's really, it should be us. They're just supporting.
Yeah.
And I grew up in the streets, so I'm not one to like, I grew up with that mentality. You better not call the police.
Oh, yeah.
That's
we all
I was
did
when we
that.
Grew up. That's a, now that I know them personally and I know the responsibility is, a lot of them out there just as scared as we are. But that's their job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the truth.
So we need a lot, man. We need a lot. You know, but then there's other parts that, you know, we have, you know, there's not just good cops, there's bad cops too.
Mm-hmm.
Believe
right.
me, I know the other side of it also. And that's where we as men, as believers in Jesus Christ, that's where we gotta keep praying for everybody and believing that just like he saved me, he can save them too.
Right. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So So praise God, praise God. Let's see if anybody else wants to get in this conversation. If not, we are going to bless everybody for being a part tonight and move on to the next week. Amen. I guess everybody has received and been blessed today as I have. Michael, now you said something real quick. You said that we need to pray for everybody. I want you to end us in prayer. End us in prayer speak to those spirits out there that they can be delivered and set free and can come to know Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior.
Right. Okay. All right. I want to thank everybody for joining us, man, up today. And I want to pray for our community as a whole right now. Pray for the Lord to just cover us with his grace and his mercy and his spirit. You know, we want the whole community to be spirit filled now. Instead of going on our own understanding, Lord, we pray that you bring some resolution to our communities, Lord, and revive everybody's spirits as us to become one now. Lord, we've been going through a lot. Lord, I want to pray for the ones that are sick, the ones that have mental problems, the ones that have been dysfunctions in their families, sibling dysfunctions, problems at work. Lord, I just pray that you just touch their spirits and revive their spirits and just
have your way, Lord.
That's with a resolution, Lord, please. You know, we need to get our communities back as one, Lord. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for just having this program today, Man Up, and teaching us some lessons today, reference to your word, different positions, different gifts that you blessed us with today, Lord. And I pray that everybody took heed to it today, too, who's ever listening, because that is some stuff that's important. You know, we're trying to get back to the roots of your word, Lord, and not our own. And
yes, Lord.
We just want to thank you, Lord. And we want to thank you for just blessing us to be together. You know, you say two or more, you're in the midst, Lord. And we thank you for being in the midst. We invited you here to this program and help us out, Lord, to understand your word, to teach your word, and pray that it reaches the folks that's listening. And we just pray to continue to do this on every Tuesday, Lord. And we just bless you. We just thank you for blessing us with
thank
this
you,
program,
Lord.
Man. Man up to shed the word and just help other brothers out here and sisters too, you know, because they need to know stuff too. So we pray that everybody that's listening got a word today, took heed to it, that it taught them something, that they got a little wisdom out of it. And we just want to thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of
thank
Jesus,
you, Lord.
We pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Love you guys. Talk to you next
Amen.
Week. Next Tuesday. Man up. Man up. Man up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Man up. Hey, somebody tell me. Man up. Somebody tell me. Man up. You got it, you got it. Your man up. Man up. Hey, somebody tell a man up.
desire spiritual gifts, we must have a desire to do better. You cannot just be dormant wanting to be a Sunday school teacher. You must have a desire to be a leader. You must be, have a desire to guide, to lead, to be in a different position, a higher call. It's a desire that we must have. And it comes, family, when you get that real thirst for God's love. Because he, when you thirst, when you get a taste